The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave Wren. Dave from L.A., a.k.a. is the neighbor go by, so just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. Today is November the 28th, 2016. It is a Monday, and so glad I had a very long weekend, and because some I don't really observe the traditional or the commercial holidays, any of them, but it was good just to get to with some family and everything else. So just hopefully that you all were able to spend some time with some family and enjoy that opportunity, which we don't get to do as much as I think that we should. But with that being said, just want to say I miss this family, and I'm glad to be back with you all for this Monday, November the 28th, 2016. This year has pretty much gone by. Wow.
Hey, we missed you too, Dave.
What's up, Scotty? How you doing, Scotty?
Hey, just holding it down, man. Just holding it down.
I know, bro. You know, I was, Scotty, I was out in the country this, you know, over this time period, and had a great time, man. And so I'm really going to be looking to develop some things in a couple of states that we have some land in. Man, it just was just gorgeous. Got some pecans, some from the pecan trees, and man, nothing like it in the world, brother. So, and I thought of you. I definitely thought of you the whole time, and thought about everyone here at Black Talk Radio Network, because this is our home. That you're our family, and this is where we're really comfortable because of the things that we're doing and the things that we're going to continue to do. And we have a live show for you today, and we're going to jump into that. But before we do that, let's always take care of the business at hand, and that's making sure that Black Talk Radio Network is going to be here. And you can easily ensure that by giving some of your finance, and you can do that by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network, www.blacktalkradionetwork. There you'll see there's a couple of ways in which you can actually donate to ensure that this network will continue to bring you the information that has been bringing you, the ideas that have been brought to you, the possibilities, the opportunities, the ability to be self-sustaining and sovereign, and also the agenda that you can set and anyone else can set as well. So You can easily do that by going to the website, and there you'll see. You can see right next to the home is the crowdfunding for Digital Black Media. You can click there and follow the information that's there, or you can just go right to the website and hit the donate button that's on the far right-hand corner in green, and you can make your donations there, and that will ensure that Black Talk Radio Network will be here in the future. And that those of you that have benefited from Black Talk Radio Network, that would be everyone that listens to it, will ensure that you have that ability, you have made way and made possible for that ability to be, and what you gain from this for someone else to actually have it. And this is the key to really, in my, one of the key things with love is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else.
Let's
ensure that Black Talk Radio. Yes, sir.
David, let me just say something real quick about that. We actually picked up some donors from Africa last week. I don't know if you were able to catch the email because you were out of the country or whatnot. I don't know if you were checking your email, but I had said that I had come up with an idea to market our platform, this station, Black Talk Radio Network, to English speakers in Africa and the African diaspora. So I went to Google and I looked it up to see, you know, which countries have the highest amount of English speakers. And we know, like in the Caribbean, a lot of them speak English because of, you know, the European domination and what have you. So I asked people, I said, hey, if you're interested in donating to this fund for that, strictly be for social media outreach. I hate to give money to these people, but our agenda is much greater, and so this is the vehicle we can reach those people and direct them to Black Talk Radio Network. So we launched our first ad last week targeting Ghana, and the response in Ghana was overwhelmingly positive, man. I mean, they just love Black Talk Radio Network. So we had like a couple of $2 donations coming in and what have you, and their African names and what have you. And so I was like, wow. I was like, I don't even know how much that $2 is in their currency or whatnot.
Right.
But for them to just even making a donation of any amount, man, I'm just so excited as we continue our outreach to open up, like Malcolm said, open up a line of communication with our brothers and sisters in the African diaspora. And I'm just so happy that Black Talk Radio Network is being that vehicle of that or that line of communication. So I just wanted to add that, man.
Man, and I'm going to tell you, Scotty, if you build it, they will come. That is so true, you know, and we all appreciate and thank you, but man, I know, Scotty, when this is something that is dear to you, because you made the biggest commitment of all to establish and to have this platform and to reach into Ghana. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to make it to Ghana. We're going to make it to Burkina Faso. Oh, man, I really want to get into Burkina Faso. Woo! Thomas. So there's so many places in within the continent that we need to reach. And I think there's going to be a way for even for those that don't speak English that we'll be able to reach those as well. And this is critical for us here at Black Talk Radio Network. There's a responsibility that we have. There's a responsibility for us to actually continue this, regardless of anything else. This is very, very, very important, because it gives us an opportunity to connect with not only those in Africa, but those throughout the world. But of course, it is critical that we first establish lines of connection and to resonate with those that of us that share so much alike. In spite of what the world tries to keep us from building, there is a great bond that has to be bridged. And Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that's here on Black Talk Radio Network is, in my opinion, is a part of that bridge. We are some of the suspension. We are some of the, you know, the keystones to establishing that. And I just want to say, Scotty, thank you. Thank you for the vision. Thank you for carrying out the vision, because there's more, as much, you know, it's it's easy to have a vision because we all can see, even those that are blind, physically blind. No one cannot have a vision. But those that are willing to energize that vision and to compromise some of their own means, their own, you know, their own fears, their own challenges and obstacles to do it, that is a different breed. And this is a breed that we need to understand that this is a part of us all, and we need to emulate this and definitely cross-pollinate this within our own talents everywhere, because the world is becoming more united than divided. The ability to divide this world is becoming, it requires unsustainable amount of energy. It will fail. And my thing is that I don't know when, I don't know exactly how, and I really don't care. My main thing is to make sure that I do my part, because the world starts with you. You are a universe. And Scotty and everyone here at Black Talk Radio Network, all of you that contribute to Tando Radio Show, that contribute to all of the programs here at Black Talk Radio Network, you are those that said, here I am. And here we go. So, man, this is phenomenal. It's going to only continue to grow. And I'm looking for this to make some universal into the stratosphere and into the deep reaches of the universe. We will reach those areas as well, because there are living likeness of ours that are there. And matter of fact, that's what some of today's show is going to be about. Once my man, we have a special guest, Chico Stick. Sister Davis had called for Chico Stick, and I made a call to Chico Stick to come on, and he couldn't wait to do it. My man, my friend, my brother Chico Stick is going to be the special guest when I have that. But listen, everyone, you can see how Black Talk Radio Network is growing, so please go to the donation button and actually contribute, give some of your financial energy so that we can definitely propel this overall movement and direction in the way that is orchestrated by us for the agenda that we know is sincere and benevolent. So I'm looking forward to the future, looking forward to the eternity, looking forward to right now. And it's not wasted at all. The water is not wasted on the floor. So I am so encouraged by this all, and this is what we all need to be doing. So also on Black Talk, at blacktalkradionetwork.com, you will also see in the far right margin, if you go down a little bit, you'll see a B, and that stands for BTR Community. It's a social media outlet that has been established by the network for those of the listeners and those that would like to go into and to be joined the social media platform. Is $24 a year, $24 a year to become a member. And on this social media platform, it's not like the other ones that are more commercially, that have been commercially pushed against everyone, where they use your identity for all sorts of things. They data mine, they get all of your information, they want it, information, they want to know who you know, who knows you. And so that is a web that they're actually putting together, and your overall identity is being compromised because they make you think that you are doing something that is, that you are actually gaining from, but actually you are exposing yourself. Many people have lost out on opportunities because of FedBook. And if you know, just, you know, research, do some real soul searching, and you know, do some ancestral connection to ask, what is it about Facebook that you need to know? And nothing will ever be hidden from those that seek the truth. It is never far away. It's just that sometimes we removed ourselves to the impossibilities of the truth. And this is what Black Talk Radio Network, Tando, and all the other programs, in my opinion, are here to facilitate, to get us all to a level of our own truths. Because that is the case. Your truth and someone else's truth may be very, very different, can may be the polar opposites, and neither could be wrong. So this is very important that we establish and to put together what's in our best interest here on BTR Community, because I don't post inside of FedBook. Some of you call it Facebook. I don't even post the show, what time the show is going to be, what the show is going to be about anymore at all. I just don't do it. There's no need for me to be there. We've resonated past that. So here at BTR Community, this is where we stay, and this is what I think is very, very important, and we would use it to perpetuate the message that we have, the message of life that resonates and springs forth in us all. So definitely go there. Also, if you are interested in taking some of your cash or what I call your coupons, or really technically what I call your slave wages, because any person that you know that's paid in cash is never ever given any money. Cash is not money, never has been, never will be. But if you would like to exchange that for real money so that you can have something that has intrinsic value, regardless of the economic climate, it gives you insurance and assurances, two different things, and they're both vitally important. You can do that by going to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com, Prosperity Mint. Check out what we have, check out what's in inventory there, and you can definitely, once you are ready to actually acquire some of the precious metals, you can email wolf6pack1@gmail.com, and someone will get with you and to ensure that you understand the process of acquiring precious metals. Make sure that you pay yourself and you save yourself in a way that has been, I would definitely say, divinely purposed for you to have, and that was never in paper. Make sure you get God's money. That is all of the things that have sustainable, intrinsical value that is a part of the ecosystem. And the most perfect form of money, in my opinion, is the precious metal. Silver, gold, platinum, palladium, and rhodium. Silver being the most important one of them all. So you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint. So with that being said, let's jump into what's in the news as we wait for my man Chico Stick to come in. Let me check to see if Chico Stick is there. I don't think, is that Chico Stick number? No, that's not Chico Stick. Okay, so I will definitely, in the break, I'll text Chico Stick, but Chico Stick is always pretty much on time, so you'll probably be here right after what's in the news. So let's do that. Let's jump into what's in the news. So the first article, what's in the news? We posted this one yesterday, and this one came from congress.gov, and this is congress.gov, and this is from the United States legislative body, Congress itself. It's the text from House of Representatives Bill 5732 for the 114th Congress, 2015 to 2016, and it says CESAR, Syria, Civilian Protection Act of 2016, and there is the HR Bill 5732, and it's a Syrian Civilian Protective Act, and this one is, in my, what I put here, this is nuts. Basically, on the 16th of November, while everyone here was paying attention to different things, and I knew that during these times that they like to, and I spoke about it during the selection season, I said, don't be surprised if they try to drop some draconian laws or draconian acts during this time, and lo and behold, they did. The House of Representatives had a secret session where they actually basically signed off and passed H.R. 5732, which gives a no-fly zone in Syria. And we're not going to really touch on this too much today, but this is extremely important. But we will definitely touch on this tomorrow, because today is all going to be about our special guest, Chico Stick, that will be here relatively soon. But this is something that you need to know. It's right there in front of you. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this has some real legs for you, your family, our community, and everything within the global spectrum of things. We are the overall movement towards what I always said was World War III will be got, global nuclear war won, which the country that is AKA known as, or the corporation AKA known as, the United States of America will lose. And I will give you the reasons as we continue to look at these things at the appropriate time. But this is something that you definitely, definitely need to check out and know for yourself. This is not conspiracy theory, folks. Those that think about conspiracy theories are weak individuals that just follow the way that the lead or the leash that they have around in their neck takes them. And they sit like boo-boo, and they walk, talk, and do and repeat whatever the leader at the end of the leash decides for them to do. This is a conspiracy agenda, folks. Know the difference. Know what and what we're talking about when we speak about things, because words have real power. As Brother Braggs always says, watch the spells of words. And this is what they always try to get us in. So check out that. Very, very important. We will definitely have a show exclusively on this and in part tomorrow on here on Tando Radio Show, God willing. We will have that. Next article comes from the KC Research. This is where I get off. We begin writing the, excuse me, this is from KC Research. This is where I get off. We begin writing on the war on cash some time ago. This is a really, really good article you should all catch, and this is, will be a part of tomorrow's article as well. The whole world is starting to move to demonetize cash. And basically, many of us have been hooked, have been actually, just like they do a lot of celebrities, some of the ones that you that you know, that we household names, and take their talents and they get them hooked on a drug, and then they take it from them and it utterly destroys them. Well, that's the exact same thing. They've got a lot of people hooked on cash. And I guess over this weekend, in the consumer aspect of it all, from not so Black Friday, because there's nothing black about that Friday. It's just a, I would like to say that it's just nothing more than a consumerism. Don't blame that on being black, because black is powerful, black is sincere, and black is the essence of all life. So don't blame that on black. I would say the consumerism from what they call Cyber Monday, whatever they have on Tuesday and Saturday and small, whatever. And you know, consumerism is one of the things that is actually the syringe that brings the overall drug of currency known as cash. And most of us are so addicted to cash, and we don't even realize that we're probably, that's probably one of the things that we're most addicted to. And then following that would be sugar, white sugar. We're probably somewhere close to that, but nothing compares to our overall addiction to cash. And let me tell you, it is an addiction. Most people don't know it's addiction. That's because they're so addicted to it. They don't even see the logic in that at all. But it's true, and we'll continue talking about that, because this is something that you need to protect yourself and wean yourself from. Next article goes hand in foot with the Congress one. This is from Free Thought Project. Media silence as the House passes resolution for Syria no-fly zone, provoke war with Russia. So, and my commentary was a capital W, capital T, and a capital F, exclamation, 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 exclamation. You know what that means. What the? So here we go. So we're going to definitely take a look at that, but kind of read up and be ready for it, because I think it's very, very important. Next article came from KeepTalkingGreece.com, and I said, here's my commentary. I hope everyone sees what's happening here. This is going to be a major move against people with cash in every country based off what works there in order to steal folks' energy. That's what they're really doing. This is why cash is trash. This is why cash is nothing but a coupon, because it's used as a debt instrument to steal your overall energy. Your energy is your life. Your energy defines who you are. Your energy is you, not your face, not your hair, not your height, not your weight, but your spiritual energy weight, your spiritual energy identity. And how you resonate with that, that's who you are. And this is one way to get you to surrender that, so so that you look at the things that are temporary and you ignore what's eternal. So check out this. This is also about the cash crash that's going on in a bunch of countries, Switzerland. It's just so many of them that are moving now towards demonetizing their overall currency, and they're going to bring in all kinds of tricks and gadgets and gamuts to try to get you and persuade you that this is a better way. And they'd be awful careful of this. This is the one that they hook, especially our people, with so often. This is the fight against. This is how you stick it to the man. Huh? They trick us so many times with that. They tell you what you should be fighting for. If you know not the enemy and the tactics of the enemy, that's because you know not yourself. There is no battle that you will ever win. Very important that we know what's really going on. What's up? So this is why we have What's in the News. Next article from Sputnik News. U.S. corporation media executives turned into fascists. Fascists trying to gag alternative outlets. I've been talking about this for a while, that the overall attention right now through the so-called fake news and all this other stuff, what they're really doing is they're planting the seeds to get rid of alternative media, because alternative media has an honesty that the mainstream propaganda is a threat to the mainstream propaganda.
Hey Dave, so, if I could add real quick, yes, on sir. That, please do not take what David is saying lightly. Okay, since I've been running the Black Talk Media Project, there's been a couple of times over the years where Congress has made moves to shut down independent media. One time, one of your favorite people out there from California, I think it's Barbara Boxer or somebody, or what's the other right. one name? I think she might have had, her family might have had some mob ties or something. Nancy Pelosi, yeah.
Feinstein. Nancy Pelosi, yes.
Yeah, Pelosi. And they were trying to, like, if you had a blog and you had over 500 subscribers, meaning people wanted to get an email when you make a blog post, they were going to make you register as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., as a political lobbyist or, wow. some, or something like that. So that failed, but they always coming up with ways to attack us. And so I'm working on a program. I seen an article come out. I bookmarked it from The Intercept, and so the Washington Post, man, which really, really, man, I'm not even going to share articles from the Washington Post no more, but they have been pushing this whole thing about fake news like you were just talking about, and they named Black Agenda Report among them.
Wow.
Yeah, man, Black Agenda Report, you know, been around maybe a year or two longer than Black Talk Radio Network, but I mean, I fully support. I've had on, you know, some of the people have been on this network and they support our network, but they were specifically named as being fake news. Now, anybody who know, who read the Black Agenda Report, know that's nonsense.
You know what's up. Right, right. See, that's because Black Agenda brings some real things that they cause you to ask questions, because the question is more powerful than the answer. Man, and I'm not surprised. This is a ploy, and like Scotty was saying, where they wanted you to register as a, they try to control the narrative and the agenda, because that's the seat of power. This is why it's so important for you to think for yourself and to go to those that you can trust as being sincere and benevolent in nature to have exchange with, because there's never been a slave that has been ignorant to the tactics of subjugation. That is impossible. And this is what the agenda is now. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, we're going to talk about this because we got my man Chico Stick that's here. I can't wait to get to the story. And we're going to talk about this exclusively as well. There's a reason. It's because they have to get rid of alternative media as much as they possibly can, because they have to get rid of those that are going to be speaking the truth so that people will ask the questions and stop blindly following and actually start believing in the magic tricks. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. This is so, so important. And you know, we are a part of, you know, the truth. I would say the truth speakers. I'm not even going to classify this the true speakers. Is what truly what we really are. So think that is so important. So definitely very, very important. We're definitely going to have a show just on that, and we're going to definitely need everyone's input on that, on things that we are going to do to secure that, because they want you to be a lobbyist, because this is what happens. Now you're sitting in the devil's lair. You're in the den of deception, and it's very easy for people to compromise their morality and pick up the overall agenda of the mainstream media. So it's a ploy that's been used and will be rehashed and cookie cut it, because it worked so well before, but it needs to stop here. It doesn't, and it stops not with, I don't worry about what anybody else does. I just worry about what I'm doing and what those around me are doing, because that's the only thing that you have influence on. And look at where we're going. Everywhere. Much love, much respect. So let's check out a couple of things before we get into. Listen, let's go to our commercial break. We'll finish what's in the news. We got Chico Stick in the queue, ready to go. Can't wait to get to it. Chico Stick, hold on 1 second. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA. On today, Monday, November the 28th, 2016, we have a live show for you today. We have our special guest, Chico Stick, that's in the queue, ready to go, and to bring you some great information. And man, I can't wait. It's so much that we need to talk about. And this is, you know, I'm really, really excited. Not only is Chico Stick a great friend of mine, and a very, very close friend of mine, and a confidant, and I consult with Chico Stick and part of our overall prepping group, and this is really my brother, and I can't wait to always learn something, and it's an exchange that we both have and we both share, and it's based off of love and mutual respect, and my man is going to be here. Sister Davis asked, she said, Dave, we need to get Chico Stick back on. I said, yes, ma'am, and I called Chico Stick, and Chico Stick said, no problem, brother, just let me know, I'm there, and this brother is extremely, extremely busy. And he took out time for us, so we're going to definitely get into that. And that when we're going to take calls after Chico Stick's talk, after we have our show with Chico Stick, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. If you have any questions or comments for Chico Stick during the show, and once we take on call. So looking forward to that. So let's get back to what's in the news, and then we're going to jump right into Chico Stick. Next article from Sputnik News. Explosion hits Kurdish militant base in Syria with UK and US instructors. This thing is going to continue to expand, ladies and gentlemen, in Syria. Next article, very, very important, from Acting Man. A note on gold and India. What is driving the gold price? It is well known that India's government wants to, corral its population into monetizing its financial behaviors and abandoning its traditions. They basically want their citizens in India to be completely subjugated and be served by the government. They want them to be the perfect slave. And what is their tradition? 24 karat, folks. They don't like 14 karat. They don't like 18 karat. It's 24 karat gold that they prefer in India. And a lot of people were hit adversely hit during the currency crisis that they're going under. We'll talk about that as well, but this is a good article. And this is the bad thing, is that even though India was shook financially by this man-made disaster in India that they're experiencing right now, and many people have been hurt, but wait until they do that here, because people here do not uphold their ancestral ties to the precious metals, silver and gold. We've walked away from it. We have done, and we have made a deal with the devil, and to take that man's economy and to walk away from God's sustainable ecosystem as an economy. But India, that's of course, they want them to get away from their ancestral traditions, so that they will be today's perfect slave. Very, very important. But we'll talk about that at appropriate time. Next one. This one, Kang, from dansbank.dk, and this talks about, this is going to be talking about Italy. There are a lot of banks in Italy that are on the verge of collapse with their referendum. So we'll definitely take a look at that. Next article, Russian, and this comes from, RT International, Russia, Philippines, to hold talks on defense cooperation agreements. Not only is it going to be the Philippines, then Taiwan is going to do it. Then Vietnam is going to do it. Then all of the ASEAN nations are going to do it. Then Japan is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. They're all going to. When they do that, they're walking away from the U.S. and they're walking away from you living the way that you've been living in spite of how you think you're living now. It's going to be a very dramatic, and you need to be prepared for it. And I'm going to give you a clue. It should be something that's ancestrally you need to be following your ancestral traditions in order to get past the deceptions and the lies of cash. Next article, really good one, especially for what today's show is going to be about with my man Chico Stick. UFO attack, and this isn't a dig. This is true. A lot of this stuff, you know, they want us to think that we are the only ones and everything else. But I do think that some of the unidentified aircraft that we see are man-made, reverse engineered devices or aircraft or ships that have been reverse engineered from outside of our earthly bounds. So this one, UFO attack in Turkey captured on camera. Check out that one. Pretty good. That's there. Next article from RT International. Kerry makes unbelievable effort to save Syrian rebels from Trump. Russia confirms. We'll talk about that as well. It has everything to do with it. And we're going to jump in right away into today's show. Today's show is our special guest, Chico Stick, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in our solar system. And definitely, definitely looking forward to that. And if you'd like to jump in on the conversation at any time, don't hesitate. Give us a call once we open up the phone lines, and the number is going to be 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. So let me pull up Chico Stick. Let me unmute him. Chico Stick, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, David? How you guys doing today?
What's up, brother? What's going on? Welcome back on Tando Radio Show, your home. And I just want to introduce you all. Let me tell you, everyone, about Chico Stick. Chico Stick and I have had a long and a short relationship, but from the first time that we met, we knew right away through a mutual friend that we had, because we shared a lot of the same interests and we were looking at some of the same things, and we bonded. Our families are definitely connected to each other, and this brother has a wealth of knowledge from pretty much everything, you know, from political, geopolitical. I've learned so much from Chico Stick, you know, following what's going on and anticipating what's next. You know, I actually call him, for me, he's one of the biblical scholars that I know. And then, see, the thing about what I love about Chico Stick and a lot of people that we all hang around with is that they're not very schooled people. They have an education that far surpasses any schooling that you can get or any doctrine or any regurgitation of a curriculum from any institution that is brainwashing you to serve their overall purpose. Chico Stick is an educated man. and does, you know, countless research and reading and actually interacting and following and could put stuff together from far, far in the past to say, yo, Dave, this is what I think is going to happen, and say, yep, and we do that. It's a collaboration that I truly, truly treasure. I know everyone in my family truly, truly treasures that, because I can speak for them because of the conversations that we've had. So Chico Sick is not only a great, great friend, but he's also someone at any time is always welcome with me in mind, because I consider him a part of the family. So Chico Sick, once again, welcome to Tando Radio Show. Just so you know, we were having a show, I think it was on Tuesday, the last day that... The last time that we had the show, that I had the show, Sister Davis, someone had asked, I know what it was, my man Jambone had asked a question, and Sister Davis had, you know, just gave some thoughts on it, and she said, David, we need to get Chico Sick on, back on, to talk about some of the things that's going on. And she picked up your overall spirit, as well as Brother Davis, because they know that, you know, that you follow this and you understand a lot of what's going on, and wanted to have you back on. And I get asked from time to time, when's Chico Sick coming back on? So welcome, brother. Thank you for taking out your busy schedule, and looking forward to today's show with you, my friend.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity. I thank all your listeners and Mr. and Ms. Davis. And hey, Dave, can I have a copy of that intro? Did you write that down? That's really good. I mean, I want to give a copy of that to my wife. Maybe remind her. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, Dave, thanks for having me on.
Your wife knows.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But thanks for having me on, Dave. It's been a while. And I see that you were telling me before the show that I guess that you want to discuss. I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on. You know, that NASA has been finding, not really talking about. Then they sort of kind of find it, but it's one of those non-disclosure things that they do, which they're so famous for. But there has been a bunch of stuff happening in the news. I know you've been going over it. I mean, you know, this whole thing with the elections, and we thought it was over, but now it's coming back again, and now there's going to be a recount, and it's getting crazy, Dave. It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny, Chico Sick? I remember back in 2014, we were hanging out, and we didn't know exactly how things were going to work out to the exact T, but they're forming and they're shaping exactly what we knew the overall landscape would be. And you're absolutely right. And here on Tango, Chico Sick, we talk about pretty much any and everything, and so I don't try to follow a script. So we probably, from time to time, will go off script, which I think is perfectly healthy and necessary. But you're absolutely right. It's been a crazy past couple of years, and it's only going to get worse. And so one of the things that I know that, you know, I've talked about on Tando Radio Show, we had a show, we had the Book of Enoch. We did the Book of Enoch series here. I introduced our audience to, for some of those that had never been introduced to them, I introduced them to the Book of Enoch, and also the Long Walkers, which we did some of that with you. And also talked about Planet X and the Bureau, and talked about some of the ancient Sumerian accounts of civilization and how it came about and everything. And so we're starting to see that start to come back, even where mainstream media is starting to admit it, and because they can't deny it anymore. But you know what's so sad? So many of us, Chico Sick, we won't believe anything until the greatest liar tells us that this is what they want us to believe. And then we're like, yep, with the popcorn and the soda, absorbing it all. So it's a lot that's going on within our solar system and within the universe, and this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about some of the things that NASA, which is never a straight answer, lies about because they're a Nazi organization. Just some of the things that we've been talking about. Just so you know, we've also talked about here on Tando, Zachariah Sitchin, Dr. Robert Harrington, that worked for the Naval Observatory. I played that. We had shows about that. Did very, very well. And I said we would always come back to this. And Sister Davis, you know, and then you, you know, I think it's time that we start to expose some of the things that aren't being exposed so that people can make their own decisions. And this is, you know, what we believe is not really important. But what we present to the people that have a decision about things is important. So who else could do it better than you, Chico State?
Well, thank you for that vote of confidence, Dave. Let's see if we can tackle this. Where do you want to start, David? I know that you said somebody had brought something up before. But before we start, Dave, if I may, I would like to reiterate, and I know we've said this a few times before, that when we look at the things that are happening today, and again, this is just so we can preface what we're gonna talk about. When you look at the things that are happening today, things happen for a reason. Okay, but sometimes there's a wrench that gets thrown into. I've seen this, and it's actually pretty funny. If you sit down and you analyze this, this is not going to be a political. Everybody who knows me knows that I'm not. You know, I'm a political atheist. I'm a monarchist. I believe in a king, and hopefully he'll come soon and straighten this whole mess out. But we're analyzing and we're seeing. And we see what's going on, and I hear an echo. I don't know if that's me or if that's you. Okay.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. And what we see, Dave, and again, just so we can just share this with your listeners, is that there has been a movement since the past to try and move us to what they call, and this is not conspiratorial, this is actual what they believe, what they're trying to get us to come into what we call a one world government or the new world government, the new world order. It's a prophesied, if you will, on the back of your dollar bill, the Novus Ordo Seclorum. It's Latin. It's for the new world order, because this is what they had envisioned many years ago when they came to when the founders came to this land. Dave, can I take 1 second? Hold on a second, Dave, because I hear an echo.
That's
my computer.
As always, Chico Six brings the noise. Yeah, go ahead, Chico.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my computer. It was bringing an echo.
No, you did.
And so what happens is that because they're bringing us to this one world order, there's certain agendas that have to be fulfilled. Most of them are actually done behind the scenes, and we have to understand, particularly us, the Hispanics, and also the Blacks, we have to understand that most of the time we're played like fools. That's number one. Okay, because they never tell us the actual truth behind the things that are being done. There's a lot of agendas, a lot of things that are being signed under executive orders by all presidents. This has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats and all of that. There's a lot of things behind the scenes. It's like some of the stuff we're going to discuss later tonight, you know, with the NASA and the things happening in space that they don't tell us. But particularly there's other things, different executive orders that have been put in place in order so that when things happen in the future, they can always go back and say, hey, this is law. This is already here. You know, for example, I know that we've discussed in the past, there's the executive order where it speaks of how if there's an emergency. For example, this was signed under this president. If there's an emergency, the government is allowed to take farmland away from the farmers, you know, and use it, you know, for whatever purpose they deem necessary. Okay, there's a lot of different things. You know, the executive order that speaks that FEMA will take over. It will be the continuity of government. They will take over, and they'll get, you know, and whoever is the president or whatever, they basically get bumped to second place. FEMA takes over. So you got to look at these things and why they're putting these things in place. The issue that we're having today, because I don't want to go too deep into that, but the issue that we're having today was this last election. This last election was really a circus. This last election kind of threw a wrench into this one world government plan, because we see that this person who was Mr. Trump, who now that he was elected, he doesn't go along with any of this. So that's a big problem. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because we have to understand that if he's not going along with the program, okay, like Putin's not going along with the program either, and neither are the Chinese going along with the program, this presents a problem to the globalists. because it presents a problem to these globalists, to these people, the hidden hand, if you will, it may very well be, David, that something may happen. And you and I, we discussed this. Something, because they have their plans. And they were thinking that their plans were going along, okay, we got 8 years, and then we're going to do another 8 years, and we're going to keep moving along, okay, with puppets. So now we have to look very carefully. This is something that I hadn't thought to analyze, because I didn't think it would happen. Just like many people didn't think, never thought that this man would be elected president. Now, what do you do with this guy? A lot of people say he's a clown, he doesn't go along with the program. What do you do with him? It's very interesting, Dave, because, and again, I'm not trying to lean political. I just want to preface what we're going to talk about, because it'll all tie in. How do you corrupt a man? And that's one of the things that I've spoken about for many years. Actually, since I was a child, since I was probably 14 or 15 years old, I've wondered to myself, how do you corrupt a man? And when I say man, I'm including women, obviously, the human race. How do you corrupt a man? And if you, there's some pastors who discuss it a different way. Some people, you know, you analyze the scripture and you may see it the same way I do. But the way I've always seen it is that you can corrupt man in five different ways. There's only five ways, and then there might be a subcategory to these categories that I'll mention. One is money. Two is fame. Three is power. Four is beauty, which mainly goes toward women. And fifth will be the desires of the flesh, which will, you'll have your drugs and alcohol and, you know, your, what the scriptures call fornication or adultery and those kind of things where you indulge yourself in, you know, in what your body wants. Those are the five ways that you can't corrupt somebody outside of those things, right? It always goes to money. So now you've got this person who's been elected, and we all know, listen, we have to understand that the higher ups in government everywhere around the world, not just here, the higher ups in government are all bought and paid for. Maybe not initially. Maybe everybody goes in thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to make a difference for my community. But once they get in there, they all start to understand how this works. And for all of you, maybe there's some of you out there.
I'm going to say that Chico Sick, they're all bought and paid for, all of them. Go ahead. Okay, bro.
It may very well be. Now, some of you may remember that old Eddie Murphy movie, The Distinguished Gentleman. If you guys remember that movie, if you haven't, I suggest you guys actually, you know, find it on, you know, Netflix or, you know, on the internet somewhere. But if you remember that, the way it happened is like they would tell him, I said, listen, if you vote yes for this, you're going to get money from these people for your coffers, for your campaign. If you vote no, then you'll get money from the other people. You see? And that's how people rich. That's how people start to become. You know, you wonder to yourself, how is it that somebody goes in, you know, they have $16 in their bank account. They do 4 years as a congressperson, making $160,000, $140,000 a year. But yet at the end of 4 years, they're multimillionaires. How does this happen? You see, so now going back to this man, how do you corrupt him now? Okay, so do you offer him money? Hey, listen, I'm going to give you $2 million if you vote this way. So it's $2 million. So he carries that around as chump change in his pocket. So how do you corrupt him? Oh, I'm going to give you $5 million. I'm going to give you $10 million. The man's a multi-billionaire. So, okay, so how do you corrupt him now? Okay, well, we're going to offer you fame. No, been there, done that. He has all the fame he wants. You see? Now, okay, well, we're going to offer you power. Well, the man's very powerful. He's a multi-billionaire. Now he has power because he's already the president. You can't offer him any more power than that. Beauty? He's 71 years old. I mean, I know he likes to look good. He's all orangey. But, you know, how do you corrupt this man? And usually that goes for women. I mean, there's some guys who put too much emphasis in that, but he can't be corrupted that way. And as far as the fleshly desires, we know that he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, and he used to be a playboy back in the day. He was, you know, obviously we all heard the comments. We heard what he liked to do and stuff like that. But he's 71 years old. What do you do? I mean, we don't even know if he's still working. I mean, you know, yeah, he had a boy 10 years ago. You know what I mean? But it doesn't seem like, seem that in this stage in life that's, you can take a man that age and say, okay, hey, listen, have women and all the women you want. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't really. So how do you corrupt them? Now that's going to be a problem, because it may very well be, David, now go back to the beginning.
Hold on, Chico, is your computer, are you still by your computer? Because we are getting some of that feedback.
I don't, I, can, maybe it's my voice.
I'm not hearing any feedback. You all sound fine on my end.
Okay. Okay, you're good. You're good. Go ahead, Chico Stick. It might be me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chico Stick. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm not on my... I don't
no,
know
you're
what
good, Chico. Scotty said that you're good. No, you're good. So I'm perfect. I just wanted to make sure. You're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, it might just be my phone line. But
okay. I think it's just it's me. Go ahead.
But any which way, and so what happens is now you take it. Now we go back to the beginning, and then you ask yourself, if these globalists were planning something, we're going, you know, we're taking these steps toward what they want to do. What do you do now with somebody who now is leading the strongest country? It's like the chess piece. You got to look at it like chess. This is the United States is like the queen of battle. Okay, so what do you do now that it has a commander who's not playing along? It may very well be that they may have to enact one of the things that we've discussed. We've discussed it on your radio program time before, and we've discussed it personally, and I've discussed it with many other people, as I know you have. They may move up. They may have to move up their agenda. You see, and that's what makes this very dangerous. They may have to move up what they want to do. Because remember, they cannot usher in a new world order when you have people like Putin and the Chinese guy, which I forgot his name, sorry, you know, and now Trump. Now, how do you usher, you know, how do you, but none of these guys want to play along. You see? And so now what's happening now? We see that across, like, for example, Europe. Now look what's happening over there. Now across in Europe, now nobody wants to play along either. You see? And that's going to be a big problem. So I actually worry about that, Dave, because, you know, who knows what they may enact in order to bring about the new world order. See, we have to understand one thing. Nobody wants one world order. But if you are brought down to your knees, if your country is in a complete state of chaos and disaster, and there is no food, there is no running water, there is no electricity, you know what's going to happen, Dave? Everybody's going to band together and say, you know something, listen, we ain't got no time for none of this Muslim Christian stuff. We ain't got no time for Jews and, you know, atheists, whatever. We got no time for none of this black, white, yellow. We don't got no time for this. The little bits of people that are left are going to have to band together. They're going to come up with some decree and say, listen, get rid of all this whole religious thing. Get rid of this whole, you know, you better than I. We're going to have to band together for the sake of humanity, you know. And from there, from those ashes, is going to be born that phoenix, what they call the phoenix. Because if you look at the back of your dollar bill, folks, it's not an eagle that's back there. Everybody always confuses it with the eagle. It's a phoenix. And the phoenix in ancient Egyptian mythology rose up out of the ashes to create this whole new world order the way they had envisioned it. So we have to pay very close attention, you know, to that political scene. So having said that, I guess, taking that off my chest, let's go, Dave. What are we looking at in the...
Man, you know what, Chico said? I'm glad you brought that, because these are some of the events that are unfolding that we need to conceptualize and we need to know so that we can establish our own individual, our families, and our collective food intake within our neighborhoods, because these are some of the things that we are facing, and this is nothing new. From the Bushes to so many other places, we've heard of this New World Order agenda. They actually have admitted it, talked about it. Pretty much all of the celebrity figureheads, CEOs of Corporation of the United States, known as the President, has spoke about it. From the Vatican to the military organizations, all in the financial organizations. So this is something that's very, very true. So listen, Chico, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, we're going to jump in. Got a couple of questions for you, and let's lead into this show. And at the appropriate time, if anyone has any questions or comments that they would like to make, give us a call at 866-510-9025. One more time, it's 866-510-9025. We got our man Chico Stick that's here, and as you already know, he always brings the fire. You listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., and we have with us our special guest, Chico Stick. But before you get that, I always got to give our props. Man, CeCe's got the woof, golden voice. But with that being said, that was a great drop for the Black Talk Radio Network. Please, definitely give some of your financial energy, and let's be a part of this, and also prepare yourself for what these, I would always say these individuals that have chosen a malevolent agenda to control power and to control people by the facade of power, which they have none really. It's only those that, I mean, what we give to them. And that's something that we need to break ourselves up. So we got our man Chico Stick today. Chico Stick just laid out some very important things that we are going to be, some challenges that are going to be met. And I think it's the perfect scenario and it's the perfect stage for the actual orchestrated demise to get people to be subjugated and enslaved even further. And, you know, you heard Chico speak about it himself. If you hear, you know, some of these things that I have talked about, and this is some of the conversations that Chico Stick and I have, you know, he'll bounce off ideas, I'll bounce off ideas, and it's, this is what is so important, because I always learn something from Chico Stick, and I always hope to offer him something, which I know we do. And this is very, very important, because we need to really start asking the right questions to get us going in the right direction. So Chico Stick is here. Chico Stick, what I want to do now is that we see a lot of things that's going on in the universe, in our solar system, and in the universe. I mean, when was the last time, Chico Stick, you know, you and I have been following the earthquakes, you know, together for years. And at no time have I ever seen multiples of 7.0s coming the way that they were coming in the past 2 weeks. Now, some of it could be from, you know, HARP or different things, but I also think that there could be a celestial tie to it all, and this is what I really want to focus on today. I want to talk about Planet X or Nibiru, also the Long Walkers, and just to give our audience some of your views on what you've studied and researched from the different ancient societies that, you know, when you really look at them, is that they pretty much give you a synopsis of the future, because they've already written from the past. And I think that sometimes it's very, very important. I think some, you know, in between that, we have to be able to sift through and dissect what is deception and what is truth. And I think it just puts us in a better place. So Chico Stick, recently, and we've been talking about this for a while, you know, and here on this network, so you don't have on this show, so you don't have to worry about our listeners. Our listeners are very intrigued they do a lot of their own research about these things, and they're not conspiracy theorists. This is not that type of show. We don't get those individuals, which is great. Our audience likes to know so that they can research for their own selves and find out what they know. One thing with our audience is you give them something and they're gone. They go and research and do, you know, what they want to do with it that resonates with them, which is so important. So now with this Planet X, it's been talked about for a very, very long time. And, you know, just from the recent time, just to give, we had a show on this before, you and I, but some things have changed. University of California, the Professor Brown has actually said that they found, and it came out in different ways, like you said, disclosure, non-disclosure, disclosure, and everything else. They hide it. They talk about it in their live broadcasts. They'll say some things, then they'll try to retract it to deceive, and that's where, you know, the bait and switch comes in and everything else. So Nibiru. So recently they said that they've now found Planet Nine. And I always say that, you know, that could be another planet, but I always, from what was actually admitted on mainstream media, is that this is actually the planet that Dr. Robert Harrington, that was the chief astronomer for the Naval Observatory, was tracking, and he met with Zachariah Sitchin, asked to meet with him back in the early 80s. And he told him, in the 90s. And he told him that he's found it, he knows where it is. And then after that interview, Dr. Harrington actually died of a mysterious cancer that his wife said he was completely healthy, but we all know what it was all about because he was disclosing things that was meant to be hidden. So, Chico said, Planet X, what is the importance of it? What is it? Why is it important? And just from what have you learned about it in your overall historical studies from the different ancient cultures of the past?
Okay, thanks. Okay, Planet X, I know most of us, you know, have heard about it. Planet X is only titled X because the X is the Roman numeral for 10. So that's when Pluto was still a planet. Now Pluto's right. Not a planet. It got demoted anymore. You know, it got demoted, so now it's planet, you know, 9. From my understanding, now they're actually naming
it. That's so powerful because this is how the system works. What they do is they purposely knew that they were going to demote Pluto.
Right.
So that people wouldn't go to X.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that they wouldn't say that. So I just wanted to throw that in. I'm sorry, I didn't throw you off track. That was plan, folks.
You're absolutely right. So now it's not, you know, Planet X. Everybody, what are you talking about? You know, but now it's Planet 9. Some people actually say it's Proxima B. You know, that's the new thing now. They actually announced it you can go to space.com or whatever. You'll see the articles there. National Geographic actually... National Geographic actually came out with an article also where they say that they have discovered, this is very interesting, and this is a direct quote from their site. It says, recently there was an exciting discovery that the very nearest star to us, a red dwarf, has got a planet called Proxima B, you know. And so they're saying that Proxima B is the likely candidate. It has water. It has all these things. It's just 1.3 times bigger than the Earth. So it's just like, hey, it's another Earth, and it's right outside of our, you know, solar system. We're just right outside the solar system, which, I mean, it's far, but it's actually very near. Planet X also, there's a lot of people that say, well, Planet X doesn't exist. Well, how do you know Planet X exists? The way they found Planet X, which is actually not new, they actually found it, what is it, Dave, 1938 it was that they first, they actually put an article in the paper.
Yeah.
And that was the very first time. It's actually because, you know, the way they discover planets is they look at the atmosphere, the reverberations, they call it, you know, there's like a tug of war happening with a planet. So they're looking at it through a telescope, and they're seeing that it's something's tugging at it. And that's the way they've discovered planets through history. And so now they know that something's been tugging, you know, way out there, you know, to Pluto. Something's tugging at Neptune. So something's tugging at Uranus. And so, you know, what is it? And whatever's tugging on all those has to be big enough to be able to move all of them. And so that's how they know, by, you know, deductive reasoning and by the way that they've, you know, always discovered planets, that there's got to be something out there. Now the question is, what is out there? Now this is when we go to our ancient sources, which is unfortunate because a lot of people today, unfortunately, we're all wrapped up, you know, we're so educated, you know, I graduated from Harvard, you know, and Yale, you know, and I don't believe in these things, and, you know, we're walking around with our 30 ounces, you know, Starbucks coffee, you know, thinking we're all of that. You know, and that the ancients knew nothing, that there were a bunch of people sitting around a fire, you know, in a cave and, you know, thinking up of all these stories. But the actuality is that if we go into the ancient Sumerian culture, which the Sumerians were at least according to what they want to admit, the most ancient civilization on Earth. You know, the Sumerians gave us our timetables. You know, they're the ones that, you know, said there's 24 hours in a day. They gave us the 60 minutes in an hour. They gave us the 60 seconds in a minute. And we've kept that all these thousands of years. That's all been ours, you know. We also know the famous paintings, for those of you who don't know, not the paintings, but the etchings in the cuneiform tablets. Oh. Yeah, and the stones. We have seen, and there's many of these. There's something like 24,000 of these Sumerian tablets. And the most startling are the ones that depict the solar system behind some of these guys standing, and it shows the 10th planet. But even more interesting is what they wrote about it. And what they wrote about it was that there's this planet. Yeah, it's right there, right where we're saying today that, hey, there's something out there, right where we're at, slowly starting to admit. NASA's starting to admit. National Geographic is starting to go with it also, that there's some right where the ancients said it was. Hey, there it is. There's a planet there. And they have in these tablets, they've spoken about how, you know, this planet comes around every the running number is 3,600 years. Every 3,600 years it comes around, and every time it comes around, this particular planet, just so we understand, it's not the planet itself. It's actually its own solar system. There's a great video. It's narrated by the late James Earl Jones. Very good video. It's called the Great Year. And it'll show you, and it's actually very good, and it shows you what a lot of the scientists believe today, that most solar systems are actually binary solar systems, meaning that there's actually two suns, but one of them doesn't light, again, using layman's terms, sort of like the sun doesn't really kick in, or maybe it did at one time, but then it kind of like fizzled out. And so you can't really see it with the naked eye. You would need infrared in order to pick up the little bit of heat that's left on it. And so that becomes a red dwarf. Okay. Now, this red dwarf that's out there, okay, has its own planets, just like we have our own planets here with our sun. Now, one of the planets that belong to this red dwarf is what we call Nibiru. Okay. Now, because Nibiru is swinging way around it, around that one, right? And then when that red dwarf sort of starts coming into our area, not that the red dwarf comes directly into our solar system, but because of the orbits of these planets, you got Nibiru is one of them, plus Nibiru has several moons that is dragging with it, you know, then that's what the issue is. When it comes into our solar system, then what happens is it creates havoc, and it creates storms, and it creates, you know, polar shifts. And it, again, according to the ancients, if you were to go read the ancients, a lot of people deduce, I can't teach this as dogma, but a lot of people deduce that's where you got the great flood and all these things, because, you know, God is so perfect that he already sees when these things are coming. I also deduce, and this is just me, and we've spoken about this before, I won't necessarily get into this today, but I happen to be one of the people who believe that this particular planet or this celestial object or one of these celestial objects will mark the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, when he says in Luke 21, he says, men's hearts, you know, they will fail them for the things they're coming upon the earth. And we can speak about that some other time. But I happen to believe that this is the sign of the Son of Man, where in Matthew it says that the nations, all nations will look up and they will lament because of the things, you know, obviously that are going to be coming after them. Now, how does this all affect us today? Because everybody says, okay, well, there's a planet out there, you know, what's the big deal? The issue is that we have to always look at what the leaders are doing. What are the leaders doing? Because if the leaders don't worry about it and everybody's cool, then, you know, then I guess we're cool too, right? But you see, for example, the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is actually leading. They're leading this whole, you know, a search for something. They probably found it. We don't know, because they're very tight-lipped about it. The Catholic Church, as we know, they've put up a telescope, you know, a couple of decades ago up on Mount Graham in Arizona. Okay, and this is the biggest, they call it, it's funny enough, it's actually called the Lucifer device, if you can believe that or not. This is the Catholic Church, it's calling the telescope the Lucifer device. It's the biggest infrared scope on the planet. It's bigger than anything that NASA has. They invested all this money in it. In 2010, the Catholic Church commissioned a group of German scientists to build them something like the Hubble telescope, and they literally put all this money in it, and they sent it up into space. Okay, so now you have Vatican astronomers searching the southern skies. And when I say the southern skies, I mean the southern spatial skies. They're looking for something. The question is, what are you looking for? I mean, shouldn't you be out there, like, preaching, handing out some tracts? You know what I mean? Like, hey, converting, baptizing, like, whatever happened to that? But here we are putting our resources into searching for something in space. And when you start actually looking at, and again, I'm not trying to offend any of, you know, Catholic brothers and sisters out there, because what happens is what happens all the time with the rank and file. The rank and file never really know the secrets. They never really know, you know, what's all the way up on top. You know, I mean, and I'll just put right. this in there just so people can understand my perspective.
That's the way to put it, Chico. You're absolutely right.
You know, and so some of you guys out there can understand and, you know, maybe kind of, you know, sort of kind of maybe feel sorry for me a little bit and say, hey, he does understand. You know, I was actually raised as a Jehovah's Witness when I was a child. You know, but very few, once I started getting older and I started investigating, because, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, you know, God gave me this mind that I'm always questioning. And when I started to question, I started to, you know, follow money and I started to, you know, to follow all the dogma and where it went to, you know, I found out that there were certain things that were inconsistent. You know, now I'm not going to say any more than that, because I'm not trying to make people stumble out there and say, oh, my God, you know, let me go open up a code 45 because nothing is real anymore, you know. But what I am saying is that you always have to look at what these people are doing, what the leaders are doing. So now the Catholic Church is investing all this money. In 2010, and you can all look this up, in 2010, after they had put this telescope into orbit, not the one on Mount Graham, but the one in orbit, immediately after they found something. Okay, at that time it was Medvedev, who was the president of Russia. Medvedev sent his minister, his prime minister. It wasn't Putin. Who was the military? I forgot his name. It was the military guy. They sent them over, and he had a meeting. This is according to this. They had an emergency meeting, David. I remember me and you. We talked about it when it happened. They had an emergency meeting, and immediately after that meeting, this guy flew back. Okay, had a debriefing with Medvedev and with Putin, and what they did, they immediately, and this is in 2010, they immediately commissioned that at least 5,000 bunkers be built before 2012. Okay,
right.
So they're still building them today, but they needed 5,000 to be built by 2012 for the citizens. Okay,
right. You and know, at that time, Medvedev was the president and Putin was the prime minister. Now right. it's switched.
Yeah,
They didn't exchange because they had the same agenda, and this was key, and this is critical. So go ahead. I won't interrupt. Go ahead, Chico Stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, Scotty, I had to mute you a little bit. I'm going to come back and forth to you in case you have a question or comment. It was we were getting the feedback from you, Scotty, just so you know. So I unmuted you, Scotty. Go ahead, Chico Stick.
So now we have these people in not cahoots, but there's something, you know, you got to start seeing what they're doing, you know. And then you come over to the United States, and then of course we have all the stuff that you was talking about before with, you know, the FEMA regions, and you have all this, you know, MREs are being, you know, they're being ordered, you know, Homeland Security, they're ordering all these bullets, you know, and all these departments are, you know, ordering the billions of bullets, and you're like, you know, like even the postal police are getting all these kinds of bullets, and everybody's like, well, you know, why postal police? Like, dag, like who's gonna jack them? Like, who wants an envelope? You know what I mean? Like, who wants to, you know what I mean? Like, who right. wants the Christmas card?
Right, so, right, and they're destabilizing everything. You have a caller in Q, Chico. When you're ready, go ahead, finish what you're doing, but when you're ready, there's a caller in queue. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, we can take them because again, this is just how this plays into today. I just want to make the point that there, and we can go back into the ancient writings so people can understand what, you know, what was written and what these very people are basing, not just what they found today, but also comparing it to what's already written. Okay, they're not brushing off what's written. The only people that are brushing off what's written is us. And the reason why we're brushing off what's already been written by the ancients, by our forefathers, but those who came before us, the only reason why we're doing that is because we have been conditioned. We need to understand that every time you flick on the television, see, I tell you, Dave, I don't watch TV. I mean, I may watch the Food Network, you know, hey, they, you know, somebody cooked a, you know, a cupcake, hey, but, you know, but that's about it, you know, and I may watch the news, but then I get upset because I, you know, I watch all the foolishness that goes on, but we don't watch TV. Every now and then I watch a movie with the kids, you know, and we'll laugh. But yeah. That's about it. Because what happens is when you watch, this is what happens, and I'll finish with this point, then we'll go to the caller. When you turn on the TV, when you watch a movie, right, and you watch all these movies, like right now you have The Arrival, okay? It's playing, you know, in the theaters again, and hey, you know, it's another, you know, spaceship visiting Earth, and, you know, we're about to, you know, kill each other, but hey, then, you know, the aliens help us. The aliens are always, you know, the good guys for some reason. You know, you look at that movie, for example, Noah, the one that came out, all the Christians, everybody was excited because they thought it was going to be an actual depiction of Noah, and actually turns out it wasn't. It turns out that these big, huge giants, the fallen angels, right, these fallen angels, it turns out that they wind up being the good guys. You know, how's that? That went completely opposite to what's in the scripture. You know, and then Noah turns out to be the bad guy because he wants to go kill, you know, the babies and stuff like that. Like, what's going on here? They completely switch it. When you turn on the
I didn't know that, Chico Stick. Because like you, I don't watch TV and I don't watch movies. I didn't know that. But go ahead, finish out.
Yeah, they completely flip the roles. It's like all of a sudden the fallen angels are good and Noah's bad, you know. But they
psychologically,
you do this. And,
yeah, psychologically conditioning. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and what happens is then you start, you know, then you watch the soap operas and you watch this and you watch, and, you know, all the movies with the fighting and the bullets. And what happens is that when something real happens, this is, and you have to understand, people need to understand, this is real. Particularly when it comes to, like, the PlayStation games and the Xbox games, that the shooting and all of that, the reason why they permit that is because they want the kids already to be conditioned at a certain age that if they ever have to bear arms, there's going to be no problem. And we see that today. We see some kid that flips and he goes and he shoots somebody in the head and, you know, he ain't got no problem with it. You know, and he walks around and he's like, yeah, cool, I shot him in the head. Like, well, what's up? You know, like, no issue. But, you know, 50 years ago, it's like, oh, my God, he shot him in the head. You know, the kid will probably have a breakdown because he can't believe what he did. You know, he'd probably be all depressed. But it's a slow conditioning. And so now if somebody was to tell you, I kid you not, David, listen, and I fool around. I tell my wife this and my kids this all the time. I say, I bet you anything, if anybody was to ever say, hey, there's a UFO in orbit, look at it, you can actually see it. I bet you anything, people would be like, word? A UFO? Wow. Then they'll be like, okay, Dave, so anyway, Dave, so listen, pizza today, you what we having, pass the peas, you know, that, like,
right,
nobody would
right.
care. They, I'm telling you, there's not going to be this, there might be a couple of scientists who might be trying to figure it out, but I guarantee you that life will go on as normal because that's just the way it is. And if you guys doubt me, you know, I was born and raised in New York City. I remember once in New York City, they actually did this. They took a naked model, a woman, a naked model, and they made her walk in downtown L.A., and they put cameras on all four corners of the, you know, where the lights are, so they can take video and they can take cameras. And the whole point was to see how many New Yorkers would actually care. And they made her walk around back and forth through all those thousands of people. You know, New York City is like herds, you know, herds of cows. Everybody moves this way and everybody crosses the street that way. There was like two people that was looking at her, and the two people that were looking at her were like those kind of perfect dudes like that, look at her. But everybody else, they were standing with the coffee next to her, people were reading the paper, people were crossing the room, and in their minds they were like, here we go, another wacko, you know. And that's
right.
What's going to happen today once there's any kind of disclosure, because we've been bombarded through games, through movies, through television series, you know what I mean, with all this. Once they do say something, everybody's going to be like, and I was okay, what that got to do with me? You got a job for me? Is something I can do? That's the way people are going to react. But anyway, Dave, so said there was somebody
who said, I think that I'm glad you made that point, because that shows that their overall conditioning has reached a point where they can now invoke some of the things and the agendas that they have, the methods to their objective. Because if people start to care and start to question, and look at it now, Chico Stick, people aren't even looking up when they walk now. Everything is walking with their head down in their so-called smartphone for dumb people.
That's true.
And so that is critical, because that shows the progression to where things are, so that we've been seasoned. You know, just like seasoning meat, you tenderize meat. Or for those of you that are meat eaters, you tenderize food, you tenderize. They know at the perfect time they're ready to cook them because they're completely tenderized. There is no resistance. And this is so, so important. I'm glad you made that point.
There's a movie, and I forgot who the main actor is. Maybe one of your listeners will remember, but there's a movie where they actually, I don't know if you've seen it, Dave, or if you've heard of it, that everybody has a clone, like a robot kind of clone. you know, and you actually stay home all day, and you're like on a bed, like on an interface. You're just sitting down, like on a, you know what I mean? Like you're sitting down, like you could be sitting on a chair.
And you wear those new phones on your face. Yeah. What was that? It was Tom Cruise in that one, right?
Was it Tom Cruise? I forgot who it was.
It's pre-crime, something like that. Somebody help us out on that, if y'all
remember. It wasn't the pre-crime.
We got to call her.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying, Chico Stick?
Oh, no, I was saying it wasn't pre-crimes. It was another one where everybody had a clone. And so, for example, like you would have a clone, but you would stay home. And the reason why you would have a clone walk around for you, like a kind of a robot clone that you can control from your house, is because it was too dangerous to go outside. You know, like what if you got hit by a car? What if you got mugged? And so if you got mugged, it was only your robot that got mugged. It wasn't really you. And so what happened was that everybody had been conditioned to live that way until at the end of the movie, you know, they did away with that. And then people were coming out of their houses for the first time, like, oh, my God, the sun. They were coming out, and that's the way it's gonna be with us if we don't, like you say, if we don't, you know, get our, you know, heads out our butts, and you know, stop paying attention to so much of these movies. And you know, there's a lot of mature people that can handle it, but the reality is that there's actually more immature people than mature people. Unfortunately, I mean, it has to be said. There's more people that could be influenced by these kind of things than others. There's a lot of, I know you have some callers who are very strong. I remember the last time I was on, and they're good people. Those are the kind of people that this world is gonna need, that this country's gonna need when it goes down. People that cannot be influenced, people that cannot be bought, people that cannot be corrupted, you know, those are the kind of people that we need. And I know you have a lot of listeners, Dave, because I remember last time you had a couple of listeners, callers that called that called in, and we were talking about it. So David, you said somebody wanted to question something.
Yeah, well said, Chico Stick. That is so true, and that is the reason why we put this all together. We got a caller out of caller from OK. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you're calling from? And what is your question or comment for Chico Stick?
Hey, how y'all doing, brothers?
What's up, brother?
How you doing, man? Y'all, this is a great show, man. And as far as the conditioning, I have two really stupid questions. But before I get to my dumb questions, I wanted to get to the conditioning. Because with the computer chips and the credit cards and the way that they're totally computerizing these cars, what they do is they suggest it, and then they ask you, and then they demand it. So I'm thinking, like, with these cars, like, you know, with different cars, they're going to say, this is for safety, oh, it's so cool. That's when they're asking. They're like, oh, man, look at these features. It'll park for you. Oh, man, it'll stop for you. It'll do it all. And then they'll ask you, hey, man, you know, I'll give you a discount on this car if you take this one. And then they're going to say, well, in order for you to drive on the street, you have to have this kind of car in order for it to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that was my only point. But back to my stupid question. My first stupid question is, with the orbit of Nibiru, you said it was what, 3,600 years?
That's according to the writings. So don't shoot the messenger. 3,600 year orbit. Yeah.
Okay. So is that does that correlate with the Anunnaki and their 65,000 year ritual? Does that correlate with that orbit?
It does. Their orbit, you know, there's a couple of ways to interpret it, and unfortunately, there's a couple of ways to see this. There's actually three I'm actually thinking of. There's actually three ways to see it, because it all depends who's doing the interpretation, because I can't read these things, you know. So you have to go, you know, for example, Zachariah Sitchin is one of them, and then you have to go to Jewish guys, older Jewish guys who also interpret it. So it all depends who you're reading. But the most running is that it's a 3,600 year, and there's actually and you can find this online. There's actually people who have done the research who have found that every 3,600 years something chaotic, sort of apocalyptic, happened here on Earth. There's people who can make the argument that the flood happened during this one of the cycles. There's another time that there's another one that somebody, I mean, I can't vouch for this one because for me the math doesn't work, but somebody says that, you know, if you guys remember in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was fighting, and, you know, then he said, you know, the sun was about to go down, and they were still fighting, and they couldn't defeat the enemy because it was about to get dark, and he said, oh, sun, stand still, and God made the sun to stand still, so the sun went forward, and it kind of went back, and then it went forward again. So it was like a 36-hour day. So it really all depends on which way, you know, you kind of want to lean. So there's really no straight answer on that.
Okay, second silly question. What, according to like the ancient Sumerians, if we were to keep true, what year is it? I know that's crazy.
Well, yeah. If you go, Dave, you have a calendar year for him?
I have a calendar year for him.
Well, because he wants to know what year it is.
Yeah.
This is okay.
Crazy, man.
No.
I'm serious.
I'm glad you asked this. The only thing about it, I don't want to toss more stuff into this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this for you. Listen, who was the Pope that stepped down? Benedict. Okay. Before he left. And I want you to wrap your head around this one, and you can find this. Before he left in December, the December before he left, before he resigned, very strange and oddly, before he resigned, he put out a small press conference. And in this press conference, he actually said this. I kid you not. He said, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I'm putting my own sarcasm behind it, but he said, oh, by the way, it's actually not 2012, because Jesus was actually born a few years before. So we're actually not really in 2012. So I just want to let you guys know that where the years are all off. So we're actually not in 2012. But anyway, it was nice being your Pope. You know, cool, peace. So I thought to myself, well, wait a second,
Nazi.
Why?
He was a Nazi.
But that's the whole thing. So it's like, okay, so then what year are we in? You know what I mean?
Right.
Could it have been then that the Mayan were right all along? You know, because even though the Mayan is not predicting the destruction, a lot of people say, well, it's the end of the world. That's not what they predicted. They predicted that it was the end of an epoch, the end of
the age.
You know, and it was going to start.
Yeah.
It was going to be a new age to start. And everybody said, well, 2012 came. We're already in 2016. Well, nothing happened. Like, everything is cool, you know, whatever. And a lot of people try to explain it off like, well, spiritual stuff happened, you know, stuff that you can't see. You know, I don't want to stretch it that far because then you kind of start.
Yeah. Hold on,
you know what I mean?
Hold on, right there. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on great questions, hold on, Mel. We got to go to commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up right there. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. If you know the name of that movie where everyone was living through their clone, sitting at home, no, there's all white in their chairs, wasn't getting no sun, and was sitting there. If you can help us out with the name of that movie, give us
there
a call.
866-510-9025, 866-510-9025,
or if you have a question or comment for Chico Stick, don't hesitate. We'd love to hear from you. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Oh, I messed up Scotty. Hold on, Scotty, my bad.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Hey Dave, was that a Bruce Willis movie? Ask Chico.
Yeah, Chico said,
was
it a Bruce Willis movie?
I think it may have been. Is it a Bruce Willis movie?
Because
yeah,
there was a movie that he was in where he played some kind of cop or something, but it was exactly how you described. Everybody stayed at home in a chair, some kind of chamber or something that connected them, some kind of virtual reality machine that they lived through their clones. I do That's remember it. That movie. I'll try to look it up.
And I remember it was a cop. So yeah, that's it, Scotty. That's what I remember, right? So that was it.
Yeah, that's it. That was it. Surrogate.
Can I please correct myself? Surrogate.
Can yeah, I please correct myself? Was the name of it?
2009.
Surrogate. Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
My wife just corrected me, and I was putting wrong stuff together. I was actually speaking of the Dogon. With their 65,000, pertaining to Sirius B, and
right.
that's what I messed up when I was talking about Nibiru. So
the Dogon, she's right, and you're right about the Dogon. The Dogon, I told Dave last time that everybody should look that up. That's very, very interesting. They try to explain today, modern scientists and, you know, archaeologists, they try to explain it away and say, well, somebody probably talked to these people, and that's how they know about Sirius. You know, the interesting thing about the Dogon is that they know about Sirius B. You see? And because they know about Sirius... See, not even we knew about Sirius B, but yet they knew that Sirius, there was another star behind it. That's actually very interesting, and that's the kicker. And, of course, like you probably know that they spoke of, you know, how their ancestors came from that solar system, came down and taught them how to do a bunch of stuff, which is kind of sort of what the Anunnaki also, you know, for the narrate... that that they have. And for those of you who don't know about that, you know, the narrate, it's, you know, the allegedly the importance of this planet is that there's beings that live there. They're called Anunnaki, or at least that's the interpretations, those that from heaven to earth came, the Anunnaki. They came, they inadvertently landed on our planet. They found gold. They mined gold because they needed gold for their planet, because since they way up on the other side of the solar system, they're getting bombarded by their a red dwarf actually spits out more radiation than
radiation,
like a regular.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they kind of needed to you know, kind of get their atmosphere back in order by putting up some kind of pulverized gold, or they have some formula they use the gold in. That's why they were mining gold on Earth, and then they take it back to their planet via Mars, which is interesting. They did it via Mars. Mars was like a way station, which is why on Mars you find pyramids, and then there's that face, that Macedonian face that's on it, and everybody's like, what was that face? And first there was a face, now NASA says there's no face, it just looks like that's a shadow. You know, so, and, you know, then they say there's a pyramid. Well, we found pyramids, and everybody said, there's pyramids, and then they're like, oh no, it's not really a pyramid, it's just three dots. But, you know, they find all these things because Mars was being it's a way station back to their planet.
And Jacob said, wait, real quick. And the face and the pyramids all align with the pyramids of Giza here. So
exactly.
Come on, man.
Very, very strange. Very strange. And then you also have the, you know, the pyramids in Mexico, which is also very strange. And then you also have, you know, those Nazca lines in Peru, and it just keeps going, you know, going and going and going.
When you say strange, Chico,
I want to, you know, just point this out as far as this planet, because everybody says, and I discussed this with you before, David, everybody says, well, listen, you know, if the planet comes, it, you know, it comes, but I don't really think it's coming because there's not really much going on. But like you said, there is evidence that there's an uptick, you know, in some of these earthquakes. But somebody can make a case and say, well, there's actually not. Okay, we're not scientists, and, you know, we're sitting here, you know, we don't got all the gauges and stuff. We can only see what's reported on the news. But one thing, though, I believe, and is that when Jesus spoke of the end times, when he said that all these things is weren't going to happen, he gave you the list of everything that was going to happen. One of the things that he said in Luke 21 was that men will be perplexed at the roaring of the waves. You remember we spoke about that, Dave?
Yep.
He said, yes, men will be perplexed at the roaring of the waves. Now, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, Christians, a lot of people read the scriptures will say, well, they're talking about tsunamis. But I beg to differ on that, because a tsunami is not going to make you perplexed. Because if you see a tsunami is coming, then, you know, oh, it's a tsunami. I mean, you're going to run, or you're going to be like, wow, it's a tsunami.
You know, not only that, you expect that coming from a tsunami generally comes from an earthquake. Right, like a movement of the ground.
And under ocean earthquake, right, the ground will crack open, water rushes in, and then it rushes back out, and that'll create a tsunami. Or it can also be some kind of meteor strike or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. something big, an explosion will create the big wave. If you can imagine throwing a pebble right into a pool or something like that, and then you'll see the ripple effect. That can also happen. But the thing about it is, when we saw the images, for example, in the Japanese tsunami or Indonesian tsunami, that didn't perplex us. Perplex is being in a state of confusion, not understanding, not knowing. But when you see a tsunami, you know what happened? Oh, my God, it was an earthquake somewhere. Or, wow, there was a meteor strike. No, it wasn't a meteor strike, but, wow, you know, you may be in awe of what you see, but you're not going to be perplexed. You're not going to be in a state of confusion, like, huh, where'd that come from? Okay? So the roaring of the waves isn't a tsunami. It is what it is, waves. Now, today, we already know how waves are created. If you remember back in elementary school, if I can take you in memory lane back to elementary school, when we learned about what creates the waves, we all know, at least the way we're taught, is that the waves, high tide and low tide, are created mainly with the help of the moon. We have this tug of war going on with the moon. Or, instead of saying moon, how about if I tell you celestial object? You see?
Right.
So now, there's a celestial object, in this case, the moon, that's making the waves. And it's incredible how precise it is that we can write down in a calendar many years, hundreds of years, thousands of years from now, when there's going to be high tide, when there's going to be low tide, you know, in the different places around the earth.
I have a question on the moon, Chico, if you don't mind. I was recently watching this program, and they were saying in this, they were presenting evidence, let me put it this way, the way they were hypothesizing about the moon once being part of the earth and the result of an asteroid or some sort of collision that broke that part of the earth off. Where are you on that theory?
Well, I can't for one or the other. I haven't made up my mind on that yet. There's either one or the other. Either one, and this is actually, and I was actually very surprised what you said, you know.
Well,
when
let
I
me
read
say
it.
Which one you think, which one presents the most compelling argument to you?
To me, the most compelling argument is that moon, we played tug of war with another planet, particularly Planet X or Nibiru, and we kept it. But scientists today are saying what you just said, and actually I read that not even a year ago. I was very surprised they actually admit that, and I was like, hey, we're hypothesizing now that the moon was actually part of the earth. Something slammed into the earth, you know, and then like bits and pieces kind of sort of went up and it kind of started spinning, and then that's how we got our moon, you know, which is very interesting because that version is what the Sumerians say. This is what the Anunnaki taught. The Anunnaki taught that once, long time ago, when, you know, Planet X and, you know, the red dwarf came into our solar system, the very first thing that happened was they crashed into a planet that was between Mars and Jupiter, and it completely disseminated, and that's what the asteroid belt is. Then it left, and then it came back another time, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of years later, you know, and it happened again, but instead of hitting that, what happens is one of the planets, you know, hit the moon, and then it had the effect of what you're saying, and not hit the moon, hit the earth, and then a big chunk of the earth kind of spun off and kind of just like created, you know, what would be the moon today. I don't know if I could go that deep, you know, I don't understand, you know, the science behind, you know, how the moon would be, you know, spin into shape. I know the earth has its core, its gravitational core, and I know that if there was a chunk missing from the earth, probably with thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, it could spin itself and be a sphere again. I'm not so sure if the moon can do that. There's a lot of theories about the moon, so I'm not sure. Like, for me right now, I would go with that we played tug of war and we kept it, you know, especially if the scientists are saying the other thing, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily want to agree with them all the time, you know, but again, that's just me.
Yeah, and you know what? That's interesting. You know, Scotty also made this point. Chico Stick talking about the Dogons. It makes logical sense to me that ancient cultures would have more knowledge of the stars and universe because they stared at the stars. Was one of the few forms of entertainment, and I would add, and studies. You know, and so they didn't have the distractions. They had to be at one with all of nature and all that was natural. So it makes perfect sense to me, as it does with you, Scotty, with that. You know, my thing with the moon is that if you look at the moon, as you guys were saying, it's not. If you look at the moon, you'll see all of the craters that are on the moon. I got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, you got a lot of lines open. That was coming off somebody's line.
It has a lot of craters on the moon. So I'm in the same, for me, it could be one or the other, but I lean towards that once the Earth was struck, and not only when the Bureau came through and it struck the other planet that caused the asteroid belt and everything else that goes around, but also maybe one of its satellite moons in that collision was dislodged and the Earth happened to capture that satellite and kept it, because it seems to me that it got a lot of the pelting by coming through that asteroid belt in itself. So that could be a plausible. I don't know. I haven't studied. I'm not in astrophysics, because people in astrophysics don't live very long. Because once they find stuff out, all of a sudden, they have a car accident.
Of the Grand Canyon?
Is that the result of the Grand Canyon? The Grand Canyon is very, very, I think it's a part of this whole thing. Could be.
Yeah, it's evidence.
We got another caller. Hold on, Chico Stick. We got another caller. Let's take this other caller. Chico Stick?
Yes.
Yeah, let's take this other caller.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I think we lost them. Okay, the caller from South Carolina, if you can, definitely call back and we'll jump in. Go ahead, Chico Stick.
Yeah, it's evidence. It's evidence enough, but that's a whole nother. Then we start getting into that whole other realm. But I just want to just quickly finish up what I was saying before.
Yeah.
That when Jesus spoke of, you know, the perplex, everybody being perplexed at the roaring of the waves, we know that it's a celestial object that causes waves. Now, if we already know today, and we already know tomorrow and next year and 10 years from now when there's going to be high tide, low tide, and when there's going to be, you know, surfer dude, you know, hey, we can go out and surf because we're going to get good waves happening. If we can already predict these things, you know, what if we can't, and all of a sudden there's high waves when there's not supposed to be high waves? Or, you know, what if there's high tide when there's not supposed to be high tide? And, you know, we have premature flooding coming in, and, you know, people who live on beaches, you know, their homes are getting flooded, and you see these big waves crashing into. Now they're going to be perplexed. Because see, what happens when he says men are going to be perplexed when they see the roaring of the waves, people are going to be, well, wait a second, it's not supposed to be high tide, right? But this is the kicker. I believe that because everybody says, well, listen, if Planet X is there, why can't we see it? I think, again, this is just me, I think, and as far-fetched as this may sound, and I'm throwing this at you, Dave, I think we're not going to be able to see it until the last second. And now,
right,
what's my basis for that? Well, I direct your attention to after the flood. See, after the flood, remember what God told Noah? He said, well, listen, I'm not going to destroy the world by water again. And as a sign for that, I'm going to put a bow in the heavens. He made the rainbow. Now, scientists today will say, come on, rainbow, we can create that. And, you know, you could just spray some water and look at it and you'll see the rainbow. But I hypothesize that our eyes were shut, that we couldn't see that spectrum. That's what I hypothesized, because after the fall of man, I think that all that was taken from us. I don't think we were able to see a rainbow until God says, you know something? Boom, look at the rainbow. And he opened our eyes to be able to see the rainbow. See, if you keep reading scripture and even ancient scripture, you'll see a lot of people that say, you know, a lot of these prophets, a lot of say, and they say, and the heavens were opened. And I saw the angels, and I saw this, and I saw all kinds of stuff. Ezekiel saw, you know, the four wheels with the eyes and all of that. You know, but then he didn't see it. His eyes were open so that he can see that, because if there were people sitting next to him, they didn't see anything. You see? So I believe that object, when it comes, and he says when men, they're gonna look up and they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man, and then the nations will lament. What can make all the nations lament? Not just the United States. What can make all the nations lament simultaneously? You know what? Knowing that your demise is near. Knowing that no matter what you do, you're done. That's what's going to make you lament. Once you see that sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, which I conjecture to be a celestial object, you are done. And that's in, you know, in that sense, obviously, you know, everybody's going to be saved, you know, if you believe in God. But the thing about it is you're done, and that's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to be causing all these things around, and nobody's going to understand. Everybody's going to be perplexed. All these things are going to be happening, you know. And then you tie into that something that we can't talk about right now because your time is running short, but there's actually prophecy. There's actually prophecy that these beings are coming back. We have to understand this. The scripture, if you go, for example, to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, if you look at it there, but you have to read it in the Septuagint. Why the Septuagint? Because the Septuagint was the very first translation. You can't read it in all this, you know, New English Version, New Living Translation, you know, New James Version. You can't read it in the Septuagint. You know what it says? It says, open the gates, ye rulers. I bring forth giants. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath. These things are coming back. They're coming back. And that's why the Vatican, that's why the higher-ups are preparing for this. And for those of you, just to remind you, the Pope is still dressing the way the ancient bishops of these gods used to dress, with that whole cone hat and that big cape. He's walking around with all kinds of colors. That's all purposeful. That's not just something that he just came up with. They got the staff, you know, walking around. And I conjecture also further that that cross is the sign of the crossing. You have to understand all these things. You know, again, whether you agree with me or not, but these are things that you have to look at and you have to wonder about. Remember, the scripture says that my people die or my people perish because of lack of knowledge. We have to ask these questions and we have to analyze this. Why a cross? Okay? Why a cross? Would it surprise you to know and to understand that the ancient Sumerians had the same cross carved all over their tablets? Okay? So this co-cross, you know, with the cross, and we're walking around with a cross, this is not something new. This is an ancient symbol. How does that tie in? And these are very interesting questions that we may ask ourselves. If we want to know where we're going, we best know where we came from.
Dave, I think so you have some...
You got a couple of callers.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left. There's no programming, so try to get all the callers in before we close out.
Okay. Yeah, we got a couple of callers. And Chico said, yeah, I agree. I don't think that once it comes through, because remember, we can't perceive an infrared. And it's a red dwarf. And not only that, the overall universe is so vast. This is why sometimes when people see meteorites shoot through, it looks like it comes in and then it goes out. When here in our atmosphere, it's something, it has a long trajectory over. But it looks like it's unzipping and it goes in. So I don't think that we're going to see we'll feel the signs of things happening and everything else, and then physically see it. I don't think we'll physically see it until it's absolutely right upon us. And, you know, because we're not able to see a couple, you know, in that same spectrum. All right, so let's go to, we got two callers. We got a caller from Atlanta. We're going to come to you in 1 second, sister. We got a caller from South Carolina. Caller from South Carolina, what's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Chico Stick?
Hey, Dave, it's the Davis team. You know we have like three phones in this truck.
yes, ma'am. Sister Davis, go ahead.
So this is us, yes. Yes, and thank you for having Chico on. Chico, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm always thinking about, wondering what you're thinking.
Same here. Thank you. Thank you for having
things
me.
Things come out. But I just want to, there's so much that you talked about, but... I really like the Nibiru, and I really did a lot of research on that, and it was great that you mentioned about the rainbow, because as we drive, a couple months, maybe about a year or so ago, because we've been driving for 4 or 5 years here, and I used to see this little rainbow when there was a clear sky and nothing was out there, wasn't raining or anything. I used to see a little square that had a rainbow, just like 3 or 4 colors, just very lightly. And it was always to the right of the sun. The sun will be setting, and it's to the right. You don't see it high noon. You see it once you start setting. I would concentrate on that, because, you know, we're driving, so we're looking at the sky all the time, sort of like ancient folks. It's like their TV. So I do a lot of stargazing and sun gazing. And now I believe that that's the world right there. And it's odd that you mentioned about the infrared and the rainbow. Some people, I don't think, see it. Now, I've seen it, my husband's seen it, and I've even taken pictures of it. And right there, I think that's where the Nibiru is, and it's just being cloaked, like a cloaking device, it's cloaking it. And I think that it has something to do with Nibiru and the terraforming of the planet, because they're preparing for somebody else, because what they're doing to this planet, we're not going to be able to eat, drink, sleep, breathe, or nothing. So I think that they are terraforming the planet for them. And in that terraforming, it's being covered. Because if you've seen, and, you know, I know Dave doesn't watch a lot of movies, but Chico, I'm pretty sure you probably do, and some of our callers, a lot of times when you see other planets, which a lot of movies are from other planets, you always see two suns. It's like all like in Star Wars. And in Star Wars trilogy, you see two suns almost all the time. And one is always to the right, if you're looking at it over to the right, lower than the regular sun. And I think that's where they're preparing us. Then on the other side, the powers that be, they all know this is coming. The Vatican, all of that, Trump, all of, they want to make us so chaotic and so crazy, because how crazy is this Trump thing? Even if you're a Trump person, it's still crazy the way he's come in, all the paraphernalia, all the craziness. That's so that we stay so busy looking at this political structure and then the fall of some of the other political structures, so that when this Nibiru and all this really come to fruition, like you said, everybody's going to be perplexed, and that's going to be the end of it. Some of us might, you know, make it through, depending on what preparations you did or being aware. But the majority, when this thing comes, if it crashes or just pulls, like you said, all of our natural resources, meaning the volcanoes and the earthquakes and all the phenomenons that way, it's all in the cards. And that's why the Vatican got that really great telescope up on a sacred mountain, so that they could see. Not only can they see it, but
we lose her.
Prophets and lights and everything.
Sister Davis, hold on. Sister Davis, we missed it. You said not only can the Vatican see it, but they can. And then you went out. Go ahead, pick back up from there.
I was just going to say, even though they can see it, but they're using the fact that they are on a sacred burial ground, which is probably more sensitive to the cosmos, more sensitive to the emotions, just sensitive, and probably a little psychic or spiritual there. They know so much that some of us know. I know. I've seen it. I know it. I absolutely, positively know it. Plus, I think there's other beings that are coming. Maybe they're coming to warn us. Maybe they're coming because the terraforming will be their atmosphere. Or maybe they want whatever spoils are left over, whatever minerals, once the Earth implodes, maybe there's something left over that they want. But I think there's a force of folks, not folks, but aliens, beings that are coming. And they might be coming to warn us, because we are not here alone. And even some of the movies are starting to show us that they're warning us for something. We just saw The Arrival over the weekend, and that was a warning. You know, they didn't come to kill anybody. They came to warn us. So I think it's all out there. It's really right in front of our faces.
Yep, definitely. I am, piggybacking on what you were saying, just so some of the other listeners can understand about Mount Graham in Arizona. That's only not just it's one of four of the most holiest places, most sacred places, not just for the Apache Indians, but also for the Hopi, but for the Sunni Indians, and there was another tribe I forgot offhand, but they actually believe that spot where they put the telescope, they actually believe there's a portal there. That's what's amazing. They believe that the Creator came through that portal. And this is according to their own ancient writings. Listen to this. On a silver disc, a bearded white man came through a portal on a silver disc, and he created man and woman. And then they believe that later on through that same portal, the giants came, who at first were benevolent. They were very nice, and they taught people how to, you know, plant, and they taught them all of this. But then something happened, and they turned on them. And then they started devouring man. They were cannibalizing them. And then they started praying to God, oh, God, please help us, and then whole nine. And then God came and just, you know, and just lit them all on fire. And as a matter of fact, today in that part of Arizona, it's the valley there is called the Valley of the Sun, because they believe that the sun, you know, when they saw that fire that shot from the sky, you know, and just, they, you know, obliterated all these giants, you know, they believe that the sun did that, you know, it's actually, you know, or at least they believe, you know, that it was the sun that did it. So it's actually still called the Valley of the Sun out there. Very interesting.
Quick yeah, question, Dave, before you go to your other caller. Quick question to Chico.
Yep.
Chico, you were just mentioning the Apache, the Hopi, and yeah, because I was stationed in Arizona, Fort Huachuca, so I know a little bit about that history. Also, you know, well, I'm not going to go into the Buffalo Soldier. But did they really believe that it was a white man? You said white man. That came through, a white person came through this portal that they called God?
I kid you not. That's what they can look it up. They said an old bearded white man came in a silver disc.
Okay, so also I also spent time in Hawaii. And that's what they believe. I believe his name was Captain Cook, something like that. That, you know, sailed to Hawaii and saw the, and they believe these to be gods or something like that. And so that might, you know, explain why they were susceptible to being exterminated and lands taken, because they're believing that these people were benevolent and probably viewed all white people like that until it was too late. So yeah.
And but there's something very interesting though. if I don't know how much time we got, Dave, but there's something very interesting about the Hopi and the Suni, which is the northeastern part, right where the Four Corners region of the United States are, and what they see, the thinking had always been what you just said, that the white man came in and killed everybody, or that, you know, the drought kind of dried up and all the Indians kind of left away. But the archaeological finds, you know, refute that. One of the most precious things that the Indians had, and anybody in the ancient world had, was salt. Okay, even the Roman soldiers were paid in salt. I don't know if you guys know that. As a matter of fact, you know, that's how you got the word, you know, salad from salt. You know, they were paid in salt. Salt was the most precious commodity for the regular worker, for the regular person. What happens is when they went to go look for these Indian remains in the Four Corners area of the United States, they found evidence that everybody left in a moment's notice, that everybody just broke out, and they left behind all the salt, they left behind their pottery, they left behind everything. So it kind of, you know, when everybody says, well, they kind of got killed off, or they kind of left, what they did find, listen to this, what they did find was cannibalized bones of Indians.
Right. Very interesting. Yeah, but most of the indigenous people, and this is documented, though, most of the indigenous people that was here when the Europeans came, they brought disease. And then, I mean, even talk about, you know, the smallpox in the blanket. But that's what happened to the 100 million or so indigenous people. But I have heard what you just described in the southwestern area of what we call the United States or North America. But I have heard that before. I just want to make a point, though. They did kill a lot of people. That's why I was going to talk about.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. They did that in, you know, the islands of where, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, my wife's island, Dominican Republic. I mean, they came in, they took everybody out.
Yeah, but I have heard that. But Dave, I think you got another caller.
Yeah, we got another caller, Chico Sick. This one is thank you, Sister Davis, as well. As always, you know, we got to keep this going because there's so much to this, so that we can put our ties in, and as always, you put a great spin on it. So we're going to keep this up with Chico Stick as well, so that we can make, you know, just so we can know some things, and then we can undo our own research and resonate with it, because it's just powerful. It's just extremely powerful. So let's go to Atlanta. One second. Let me unmute this person. Welcome, caller from Atlanta. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Chico Stick?
Hey guys. Hey Brother Dave. I know I have been meaning to call you, but I have been so busy. This is Jada in Atlanta. So I just wanted to talk
you
to
are
you.
So hey, Brother Scotty. Sister, it's always just good to hear your voice. I know you got some good stuff. Go ahead, sister.
I just want to drop this real quick. There's this man, his name is Credo Mutwa, and he is a shaman, a Zulu shaman, and he talks about a people who had come to his people 6,000 years ago. I mean, the article is really intense. It took me like 2 hours to read it, but long story short, he talks about how they invaded every ethnic group around the world. He even talks about how they came as, he said that, well, they, he said he's traveled the world, the entire world, from China, Japan, and he, it's the same alien it's the same alien
being.
And he said what they do, the alien being, and what they do is they infiltrate every group, and he said they actually control the other aliens that are here. I know it sounds off the chain, but it really is. It's even in the word. When I read the Apocrypha in Daniel, the book of Daniel, there's something that is missing. At, you know, of course, after you finish the book of Daniel, in the Apocrypha, Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel at the end, and he says, I'm trying to make this quick. He says, Daniel, he says, you say that my God is real, this, that, and the third. And at the end, he says, but does this look like he's not real? And this is in the Apocrypha. And when I read it, I was like, what?
Say that again, sister, because you went out. I don't think some people heard you.
Oh, okay. In the Apocrypha, there's a last chapter of the book of Daniel that they actually took out of the King James Version. And it talks about how Daniel actually physically saw the alien, which they call Anaki, that dragoon or dragon or that type of being. And he says to the king, and he says, give me a few days, I'm going to destroy your God. And he said, because I believe in the Most High God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. So what he did is he took some paste, some hair, and something else, and he shoved it down the throat of the reptilian being, and it exploded. And I had actually read that in the Apocrypha. And then also he talks about the 500 tribes in Africa that he actually spoke to about this. And like I said, Credo Mutwa also, and then he talked about the 28 or 29 planets that are here. You know, so he goes into depth, and then he himself was actually taken up by one of the greys, and he was actually physically, abused by the greys. And they say they're the ones who do the dirty work of the Anaki or the greys. And then you have the other aliens who are, they look like white people, but they have they're this blue eyes and blonde hair, and they're like
the
7
Nordics.
Foot tall.
The Nordics.
And and then he talks about the shorter greys, and then it's really intense. And he said the reason why Africa is suffering, he said they call them the Skywalkers, and then of course they infiltrated groups, and even with the Native Americans, and they call them shapeshifters and stuff like that. I remember one time, this gonna sound off the chain, and I was waiting at the bus. So I'm looking, and sometimes it is spiritual. If, like you and I were talking, Dave, and sometimes I get a little, and if you pay attention, you can't see them. And they do change in front of you. And one day I was at the bus station, and I saw something, and as soon as you turn your head, you're like, what? Okay, I used to live in New York. Long story short, I was coming home once. Leaving home off of Christmas Street. I used to work in the village. So this big guy, I heard him talking, but he wasn't opening his mouth. So he said, I'm going to kill you. So it was like 1 a.m. because I used to get up real late from work, because I used to work as a waitress. So somebody came out of, this guy grabbed my arm, and I looked, and I was like, "What? Where did you come from?" He said, you're going to the train station, right? I said, yeah. So he walked me down, go get on the 2 train. As I turned around to tell him thank you, he was gone. He was gone. And that wasn't the first time, incidents have happened like that with me. So yeah, there are angels here. There are beings here, but you gotta be spiritually sensitive to understand what we're dealing with. When two worlds collide supernaturally and naturally, you have to be sensitive enough to know that, yeah, God is who he says that he is, because I would, I, that man probably would have hurt me as many times as, you know, me moving to Atlanta and I was, you know, same situation, walking home, these guys pull up in a car and they thought they was going to have a time. And then I said, God, please. And the guy changed the guy's heart and he jumped in the car. And he, so I know, like, if you really believe in the Most High God who created the heavens and the earth, he really is who he says that he is. And then when I read the Apocrypha, and I was like, and he talked about, he called him a dragon. He was just like, because when the king said to him, he said, does this look like, he said, does this look like it's not real to you? He eats, he breathes. And he was just like, well, I'm going to destroy him through the Most High God. And lo and behold, he killed him. So,
well, amen. You know, and if I can just say real quick on that, sister, that, you know, it's not far-fetched. We have to understand it now. I know some people may be like, okay, we're getting kind of off topic, but it's not far-fetched. The very first prophecy, listen to the very first prophecy that's in the scripture says, it's in Genesis chapter 3, and it says, I will create enmity between you and, you know, remember that? You know, between her, yeah, between her and her seed, and you and your seed. Okay, he was talking to the devil. So, and I remember me and Dave, we were laughing about this a few years ago because we were like, so the devil got seed? Okay, because that's the very first prophecy. He said, between your seed and her seed, talking to the devil. So the devil got seed, seed meaning children, descendants. How in the world the devil got descendants? Like, when did that happen? So there's something going on. And so, and it's, so you're absolutely right on point. You know, and as far as, and as far as angels are concerned, you know, you go all the way, you can go to Matthew when the children were trying to go up to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, and the disciples try to stop him, and he said, nah, let him come to me. He goes, I tell you the truth, their angels, talking about the children, their angels are constantly at the face of God on their behalf. See, so what happens when you're born, you have angels that are assigned to you. Okay, you got guardian angels. Also, if you go in Ecclesiastics, because I'm trying to do this fast, in Ecclesiastics, King Solomon says, as advice to us, he says, don't ever promise something that you're not going to fulfill. So like that, you don't have to explain yourself to the angel. That's what he says. Which angel is he talking about? He's talking about your angel. You're going to have to explain a lot.
Chico Sick, man, yes, we gotta have you back. That's gonna be the end of the show, sister. Give me a call after Tando Radio Show. I gotta share something with you. Everyone, just wanna thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show.
Thank you.
Much love, much
respect.
Chico Sick, thank you
so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon.
You guys take care now.
For the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.